Good morning. It is time to get up with the Deshaun decision. As the world reacts, the NFL has 3 days to act. Will they take him off the field for the entire season? Meanwhile, on the field, Rodgers revving up for his biggest challenge ever. Can he bring one last title to Titletown? And then the D in Big D stands for devastating injury. The Cowboys lose a critical piece. We'll tell you exactly how they should solve the problem and save the season as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday. Delighted you were there. And I may be alone in here, but I'm by no means by myself. Take a look at the squad we've put together talking football for you today. D Wood was camping yesterday. Jeff Darlington's got all the insight. Lewis Riddick ready to go. Mike Tannenbaum's got news for you. We are ready to roll, and we'll get to the football in a moment. But first, a huge day in baseball, trade deadline day, and on the eve, Yankees, Mariners, bottom of one, Yanks, second and third, with nobody out in the first, and that's Anthony Rizzo heating up. It's his third straight game with a home run. He's got 26 on the year. Yankees a 3-0 lead, bottom of two. What a season that man is having. With two out in the second, Aaron Judge crushes a 3-1 shot to left. That's his 43rd of the year, 10 more than anybody else, 10th in his last 11 games. Yanks up 5-1, bottom eight, 6-2 is the lead. Jose Trevino sends one deep to center, his second of the night. And the Yankees put back-to-back wins together to go on and take it by a score of 7-2. But the story here is Aaron Judge. Since the All-Star break, he's been ridiculous. 10 homers since the break, tying Albert Bell's record for the most in a team's first 12 games after the break. He's now on pace for 66, which would break Roger Maris's Yankees season record. It's also the American League record. You know, a lot of people think it is the actual record. That's a conversation waiting to happen. In the meantime, to the NFL, where Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson will serve a 6-game suspension without pay, but not be fined for violating the league's personal conduct policy following accusations of sexual misconduct. That's the ruling by the disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson yesterday. The league has until Thursday morning to file a written appeal. Let's start with Browns coach Kevin Stefanski.
I feel incredible empathy for anyone who's been impacted by this decision. It's something that I don't take lightly. He is working to be the best version of himself. He's committed to that. He said that publicly. He's said that privately. And I believe that.
Okay, so the NFL released the following statement. Pursuant to the CBA, the NFL or the NFLPA, on behalf of Watson, may appeal the decision within 3 days. In light of her findings, the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a 6-game suspension and will make a determination on next steps. So that's what the NFL said. And then there was the reaction from everywhere. The Cleveland Rape Crisis Center issued this statement saying that they are disappointed by the decision, saying the 6-game suspension given dangerously mirrors the flaws in our criminal justice systems and sends a grave message to our communities. Far too often, those in positions of power and celebrity who commit violence against others are not held accountable for their actions. These ongoing headlines are triggering for so many. To survivors, we say we see you, we believe you. Your story matters. Cleveland Rape Crisis Center is available 24/7, 365 online, or they give the phone number there, 216-619-6192. That is an indication of what some of the reaction, it felt like across the entire country, was yesterday. And Mike Tannenbaum, for that reason, you were telling me this morning, you do anticipate the National Football League will make a move here.
That's right, Greeny. And they have a real conundrum. On the one hand, they want to give credibility to this new collectively bargained process that a third party, Judge Robinson, will handle player discipline. However, with that said, because of the political sensitivity of this case and with 24 women alleging at a minimum misconduct by Deshaun Watson or even worse, I think that's going to leave the league no choice, Greeny, but to use their collectively bargained right and to appeal to Roger Goodell or his designee. And I think based on the reaction that you just read and where a lot of the sentiment is going, I expect the league to exercise their right in the next day or so.
So, Jeff, how does that connect to with what you were hearing yesterday? I'm sure you spent the entire day working the phones. We know what people outside the league were saying. What were people inside football saying?
Well, I would say it goes beyond the political sensitivity here, because most people within the league were also looking at this process, which is new to them as well, saying, wow, 6-game suspension. That's interesting. Considering when you looked at Sue Robinson's report, ultimately, she concluded that the NFL was within its merits of suggesting a 1-year suspension, that all of the facts that they presented to Sue Robinson did hold up when it came to Deshaun Watson's situation. But ultimately, where the difference was between Sue Robinson and the NFL was within the punishment itself. So the NFL, which suggested a 1-year suspension, now has the power and ability, which was negotiated within the collective bargaining agreement, to say, you know what, 6 games wasn't enough, considering what Sue Robinson did conclude within her findings, and we're going to change that. And again, Greeny, they have until Thursday to do that.
And for what it's worth, again, some might say, well, in this new process, there is this independent party and she has ruled. But it is also part of the process collectively bargained and agreed to by both sides that either side can appeal, and that appeal goes directly to the commissioner or the commissioner's designee. So this is theoretically still part, well, not theoretically, this is literally still part of the process.
That's
Jeff,
exactly right.
I would be curious, though, Jeff, what other things were you hearing from people inside the league? What was the reaction generally to the 6 games?
I think when I reached out to players, coaches, general managers, they were feeling what felt like was being echoed on social media and perhaps with all of us, which is, you know, a little bit of confusion that you could read the report from Sue Robinson. And really, I would argue I didn't hear from anybody who felt other than this sentiment, that you read what Sue Robinson found within her report, again, siding with the NFL and the facts that were presented, but ultimately was looking at this saying a 6-game suspension relative to some of the other suspensions that have been handed out, whether it be Calvin Ridley with the 1 year for gambling. And I know precedent is a very dangerous thing to look at when it's very different circumstances, but throughout the league, the sense that I got was most people looking at this new disciplinary process could not understand how it was, quite honestly, merely a 6-game suspension.
All right, so let's hear then from the people who made their living inside this league for a long time. Dee Wood, I'll start with you. I've not had a chance to talk to you. What was your reaction? And I know that you were also at, I saw videos of you at the Jets camp, so maybe you had a chance just to get a sense of what other players, active players, thought of it. What thoughts, if any, did they share, and what are your thoughts?
Greeny, I was surprised. I was surprised when the punishment was handed down by Sue Robinson, the fact that, you know, it seemed like it was more so based on precedent in this particular case. You know, I tend to go back to the Ezekiel Elliott, Big Ben, you know, both of their situations and the fact that both of them got, I believe, 6 games apiece. And you contrast that with what Deshaun Watson was accused of and the findings that Sue Robinson had, basically siding with the league as far as, what they were saying as far as how they presented their case, but ultimately coming back with a 6-game suspension. It's just hard to contrast, you know, those two prior situations and what Deshaun Watson, you know, was accused of doing and saying, well, I want to give him six games. You're talking about in the other situations, one individual as opposed to 24 victims in this particular case. And to arrive at 6 games, I just felt like it was incredibly light by the arbiter in this particular situation.
So do you feel, D. Wood, again, as a person who played in this league, a person who has given as much of your life to the league and to its to what it stands for as you have, do you believe the NFL should go in and hand down a more firm penalty?
I do, Greeny, because I feel a way about this particular, you know, just domestic assault, domestic violence in particular. What Deshaun Watson is accused of is egregious, and that's what, you know, Sue L. Robinson said multiple times in the report. It's egregious, predatory. I mean, you know, when you're using that type of language, you would think that the punishment handed down would be very harsh, and it's hard to match up those type of words, that type of language with 6 games. It's just hard for me to wrap my mind around that.
And then, and Lewis, let me come back to you. You and I spent so much of the day yesterday here. You were with us on this show and then with me on the radio as we were thinking this through. Now that you've had the day to think about it and a night to sleep on it, where was your head this morning regarding the six games and what the NFL should do here?
Yeah, it's it is really interesting juxtaposing the two positions, you know, that the NFL is facing here. Knowing that Sue Robbins, like, she's almost like teaching the NFL, trying to teach the NFL a little bit of a lesson here, saying this: hey, look, based on the facts, which is really what I have based my life off of as a judge, there's no question that this young man's behavior, pattern of behavior, as Damian Woody just pointed out, egregious and predatory.
You hear those two words,
I don't care if you're talking about football. This isn't really a sports thing. We're just talking about, if you hear those two words in normal everyday life, that someone is describing someone's behavior, pattern of behavior, as being egregious and predatory, you automatically are going to, you know, perk up and go, hey, wait a minute. That's a problem right here, okay? And then on top of it, you know, she wound up putting some stipulations on what he is allowed to do as far as getting massages in the future here, you know, just relegating him strictly to people provided by the Cleveland Browns. So she sees that there's a problem with the choices that he has made, you know, in the past. But at the same time, she's telling the NFL, but look, based upon your application of the personal conduct policy, you haven't been consistent and you haven't been fair. So I'm going to go based off of what you have done in the past, and I'm going to listen to what the Players Union laid out as far as your, you know, inconsistent administering of the personal conduct policy. And I'm going to come, basically, I'm just going to strike it right down the middle here. I'm going to give him six games. That's a problem right now that they're going to have to try and figure out. Now, what do we do here? How do we go forward here? And look, I think, I don't know if it's necessarily political pressure. I don't know if I necessarily like that word. I think this is just like, this is human pressure. This is just societal pressure saying this. Just like the Cleveland rape crisis pointed out. You know, right now, you're having women right now look back and say, look, people who have money, people who have status can get away with whatever they want to get away with because they have more things at their disposal in order to defend themselves and or get out of being punished for wrongdoing. And that is something that resonates with everyone, not just the sports world, but in society in general. And I think the NFL is very much so aware of that. We all know that they're very reactive in terms of how they feel people are perceiving them and how they conduct business. So this is going to be interesting, to say the least.
No question about it. They have 48 hours, the league does, to make a decision on whether or not they will, again, utilize what is at their disposal, which is the ability to appeal this decision and perhaps impose greater discipline on Deshaun Watson. We will see. I'll pause briefly on that thought. But as we continue, there's, of course, a football element to all of this. As of now, the Browns will be without Watson for six games. What exactly will that mean for a team that is thinking Super Bowl thoughts? We will put this story on the field in a moment. And then to Aaron Rodgers we go next, saying all the right things about his receivers. But is there one guy he actually needs, and that guy's not on his team? Spoiler alert, it's not Devontae. The answer next. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Verizon 5G from the network more people rely on. So again, our top story, the arbitrator has ruled that Deshaun Watson will serve at least a six-game suspension without pay to begin the season. I say at least because the National Football League now has 48 hours to decide whether or not it will appeal that ruling and potentially take Watson off the field for longer. What will that mean for him? What will it mean for the Cleveland Browns and their chances moving forward this season? Those are just some of the questions. We'll continue to provide the answers as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We're back in just a moment.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and of course, the top story across the sports world and well beyond. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson set to serve a 6-game suspension without pay. He will not be fined. This for violating the league's personal conduct policy following accusations of sexual misconduct. This is the ruling from disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson yesterday. The league has until Thursday to file a written appeal. And Damian Woody, among the many that we have with us this morning analyzing this. And we spent the first 10 or 12 minutes of our show this morning talking about the larger implications of this, because the issues that arise from it are so much more significant than the outcome of any football game. And so we've discussed those, and we will continue to, because they are important. This is, however, a sports show, and obviously, D. Wood, there are enormous football ramifications of this story for the Browns and thus the entire division and the entire AFC. So let's just start with the 6 games. The Cleveland Browns are a team that, with Deshaun Watson, as we last saw him in Houston now 2 seasons ago, playing as well as any quarterback in the National Football League, and I don't think that's an exaggeration, with him, they feel like a Super Bowl contender. Let's say that they lose him for 6 games. What does that mean for the Browns and their chances this season?
Greeny, I think the Browns organization have to be, as far as it relates on the football field, ecstatic. The fact that if this sits at 6 games, they feel like they have a fighting chance, because the Browns have one of the best rosters in the National Football League. And obviously, Jacoby Brissett, the backup to Deshaun Watson, is a very capable backup. He's a guy that can hold down the fort and possibly win some games during this 6-game suspension. But once you get Deshaun Watson back going, combined with the other pieces that he has surrounding him, this is a team that everyone's going to be talking about as one of the teams that's going to be fighting for, fighting as far as one of the best teams in the AFC. They're that talented of a roster. So, again, I think this Cleveland Brown organization has to be quietly thrilled about the fact that right now, as it stands, Deshaun Watson's only serving a 6-game suspension.
You saw that schedule there on your screen briefly, and three of those first four games are against teams that had losing records last year. The Steelers are the other. We'll see exactly what they are. They made the playoffs last year. They made the quarterback transition. So that first part of the schedule might not be all that challenging. Maybe they're able to find a way to put together some wins, and that would be a big deal. I want to ask the players, both of you, and Lewis, and I have you back. I'll ask you this question as well. Let's just... In a scenario in which he is back after week six, let me explain for anyone who wasn't following the news yesterday exactly how that would be structured. Deshaun Watson is able to practice with the team through the preseason. He's able to play in preseason games if they choose to play him in those. Then he has to go away for the first half of the suspension. So he will not be around the team. He will not be able to practice for the first 3 weeks of the season. He will then be allowed to practice for 3 weeks leading into week seven. This is a player who, again, did not play a single snap in the National Football League last season. So, Lewis, realistically, what should we expect from Deshaun Watson when he gets back on the field? What should the expectation for this team be if, indeed, he gets back on the field under all of those circumstances week seven of this NFL season?
Yeah, it's really hard to say, Greening, given the fact that I haven't laid eyes on him. And really, I mean, all we hear naturally coming out of Cleveland is the fact that that he looks fantastic, that he's a guy who's totally dialed in, he's totally immersed in the culture that they're trying to create there, and all the players have really rallied around him and responded to him in the way in which you would expect players to rally around a top-tier, top-flight quarterback. Now, with the long layoff that he has had, it's natural that he's going to have some kind of rust coming back. There's just no way that you can't. There's absolutely no way that you can't. And then to have your comeback really, you know, interrupted once again for the first 3 weeks of the season with you not being around, that this throws another wrench into his overall ramping back up into form if we're talking about how he looked when he last played in Houston. I think, you know, for the team, I think looking at that schedule with four of those games at home, two of them on the road, the three tough ones, if you really want to call, you know, the Steelers and the Patriots and the Chargers the tough ones, I think the team could reasonably expect to be at the very least 3-3 coming out of that 6-game suspension. And then they have two games before their bye against two division opponents there, the Ravens and the Bengals. Now, I mean, he's going to have to rely on the strength of this roster, the strength of the running game, in order to get his footing, you know, coming out of the gate against a team like the Ravens and then playing against a team like the Bengals, who you know is always going to give them a tough go of it. So I think right now we have to be open-minded. We have to be open-minded in terms of what we expect of him or from him once he does come back, and not expected to be right where he left off with Houston. But I think because of the caliber of athlete that we're talking about, and because of the nature by which they try to play the game, which is run-centric, lots of play-action pass, and I'm sure they'll expand it from there based off of his ability, I think they'll have a good plan for him to get him ramped up pretty quickly without them really having to sacrifice production on the offensive side of the ball.
Mike T, if you look at it sort of organizationally, the way this has gone, and that's your area of expertise, almost every move they've made has made it clear they knew this was coming. And, of course, the entire football world knew that some suspension was coming. But not only in the way they structured the contract, which was extremely advantageous to him financially in these circumstances, but having Jacoby Brissett there and ready to go, hard to imagine a more capable circumstance that a team could be in than having him there. So realistically, this is a team whose expectations this year might remain pretty high despite these extraordinary, so I don't know exactly what word to use for them, somewhat unprecedented circumstances.
That's right, Greeny. Jacoby Brissett should lead this team to at least three, maybe four wins, while we assume it's going to be a 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson. But Greeny, here's the challenge. Kevin Stefanski actually has to get four quarterbacks ready. As it's been mentioned, Deshaun Watson would have missed 658 days. And as Lewis said, it's really hard not to think there's going to be some rust there. So you got to get him some reps in preseason games. But then there's Josh Rosen and Josh Dobbs. They're one hit away from playing for a really good football team, as you just mentioned. So if I'm Kevin Stefanski, it has to be centered around Jacoby Brissett. But you have to figure out who the backup is. get them some meaningful reps, and then get Deshaun Watson ready to go, because presumably, if nothing changes, he's going to play in 11 regular season games. So this is a very unusual and unique situation from a football standpoint.
Absolutely. And again, we opened the conversation by saying, and all of us acknowledging, that the non-football issues here are so much more important than the football issues. But the reality is that there's going to be a season coming up shortly, and the Browns are going to be a big part of all of it. And we don't yet know whether or not Deshaun Watson will be suspended for longer than the six games. Maybe the league takes him off the field for the entire season, and then this conversation becomes moot. But the expectation, at least as of now, is that he will be playing. Jeff, give us a final word here.
All right, I don't want to overcomplicate the complicated, but by the way, we should throw one more wrench into this. I'm told that if the NFL does appeal this, that Deshaun Watson's side will be filing suit against them to question the authority of Goodell to do so. If that were to happen, we're talking about injunctions, all sorts of legal processes that ultimately could delay this suspension. So there's a bunch of complicated things out there. I'm not saying he wins or loses the case, but there's a bunch of scenarios right now that put the Cleveland Browns, when they're assessing what's going to happen with their quarterback, into play in many different scenarios.
Okay, so let's leave that there for the moment. Let's reset here as we reach the bottom of the hour. Welcome. You are watching Get Up here on ESPN. We've had a few little technical issues to work through this morning, but here we are ready to roll with this terrific football squad that we've put together. We spent the first half hour of our show on this enormous football story involving Deshaun Watson, both on and off the field. Let's go to other business here. I play a little game of either or around the league. Lewis, Steelers, week one. Who will be their starter at quarterback, Trubisky or Pickett?
Yeah, I think it'll be Mitchell Trubisky because of the fact that, look, he's just a guy who's a seasoned veteran who understands what it means to start opening weekend of an NFL season. I think the offense, as constructed by Matt Canada, does fit Mitchell's skill set, and I think he'll at least be the starter at the beginning, but I don't know if I necessarily believe he'll be the starter once we wrap up the season in December.
We'll see where that goes. Jeff, let's go to this. Who has a better chance to win MVP in your mind, Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes?
You know what? Maybe I'm the guy who's just going to keep doubling down, but I'm going to continue to say Patrick Mahomes every single year, probably for the next decade. Yes, Aaron Rodgers is the back-to-back MVP, but without Devontae Adams, I think that there will be some drop-off. As opposed to Patrick Mahomes, I understand he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. I think he'll find a way to succeed. MVP 2022.
All right, we'll get back to Mahomes and Rodgers in a minute. But first, D. Wood, which quarterback has more pressure on him to get to the Super Bowl this year? Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott?
Yeah, for me, Greeny, I think it's Dak Prescott. I think when you look at, you know, everything that's been going on surrounding Dak Prescott, you know, no Amari Cooper, James Washington's now going down, Michael Gallup is still working his way back from the ACL. And the fact that Jerry Jones paid, you know, Dak Prescott a huge sum of money, the expectation in Dallas this year and every year is Super Bowl or bust for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think that's right. And you just touched on it, but let's make sure everyone is aware of it. Our NFL Nation Cowboys reporter Todd Archer tweeted last night this about the injury to James Washington. The Cowboys will be without the wide receiver for 6 to 10 weeks because of a fractured right foot that he suffered yesterday. He is scheduled to undergo surgery Tuesday, which is now today, in Dallas. And again, Washington is a player that they acquired during this offseason. And I think quietly, and maybe not even so quietly, Lewis, figured to play a pretty significant role in that offense. So that is another huge loss for a Cowboys team that's already lost Amari Cooper. I think D. Wood just did a good job running through it for us there, Lewis. A lot of pressure now on the quarterback as he loses these pieces.
I think it's, quite honestly, I think it's going to be an unrealistic amount of pressure. Look, this is a huge, huge blow. And look, James Washington, while being a nice player, is not someone that anyone considered to be really a number one or number two, you know, at the very least in the NFL, maybe a good, solid number three. And the fact that Michael Gallup's not going to be ready at the beginning of the season, no Amari Cooper now, and now you just have CeeDee Lamb, and now you have Jalen Tolbert, a rookie third rounder. I mean, you tell me, who's Dak going to really throw to? Defensive coordinators now. Now, you can really expand this conversation now beyond Dak Prescott in the passing game. We've been talking so much about the fact that, you know, what does this year mean for Ezekiel Elliott? What does this season mean for his prospects going forward? Well, I can tell you what, he does not like the fact that James Washington went down either. Because if you're a defensive coordinator, how are you going to defend this team now? You're going to stack the hell out of the box now. You're going to make sure Dak has to throw the football, and you're going to make sure that he's not going to throw it to CeeDee Lamb. And after CeeDee Lamb, who else do you got? Who else are you going to throw it to? Yeah, the pressure has ramped up now on Dak Prescott before this injury because they think that everyone believes he needs to really raise the level of everyone around him. But he has no one around him now. He has no one to throw the football to other than number 88 in terms of wide receivers. And look, I'm not trying to discount Jalen Tolbert. Watch this tape a lot. He's a fine receiver, outside lane guy who can go up and high point the ball down the field. But he's a rookie, man. And this team has lofty, lofty expectations. If we're talking about Super Bowl or bust for Dak Prescott, I would say that's kind of pie in the sky right now, unless they make some kind of big-time move to get some kind of veteran wide receiver in there, because otherwise, I think this offense is going to be in big trouble.
Ah, well, that leads us perfectly to the next order of business, because this is not a show where we merely point out the issues. This is a show where we solve the problems. Mike Tannenbaum, what can Jerry Jones do right now to address what Lewis just said?
Odell Beckham Jr., he is by far the best football player on the planet, who's a free agent, who is also coming off of an ACL. But when he was healthy, he was the best player on the field in the Super Bowl and by far the best player that's available. So I agree with what Lewis said. Jalen Tolbert's a nice player, but it's going to take some time. Go get OBJ right now. Have him rehab as a Cowboy, learn the offense, so whenever he's ready to go, he can hit the ground running. And obviously, you're going to be competing with the Rams, maybe the Packers, Greeny. So there's a sense of urgency. You're in Oxnard. Just go down the street, Jerry. Take your big Cowboy bus. Get him on. Have a ham and turkey sandwich and get the deal done, because you got some competition to get him signed.
You know, you always like to state the food that you'd be serving, and it used to be chicken parmesan, and now it's a ham and turkey sandwich. I'm not sure if that just sort of spilled out of your mouth accidentally, but if so, you're mixing a couple of luncheon meats there that I'm not sure should go together.
Yeah, but man.
I'm so excited to get him signed, you know? Yeah. I can tell you the restaurant in the New York area and what jet we signed where, and, you know, Rex will tell you about snacks as well, Greeny, but whatever it would take to get Odell signed, whatever he likes to eat, that's what we're having for lunch.
What do you think? Damian Woody, you just pointed out all the issues. If they signed Odell Beckham Jr. in Dallas, would that solve your problems?
I mean, immediately? No, it wouldn't. I mean, he's still rehabbing, but, you know, Mike Tannenbaum talked about, OBJ was the best player on the field in the Super Bowl before the injury. So if you could get another veteran presence like Odell Beckham Jr. in the building, rehab, I would love, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I would love that addition onto my roster, another established veteran guy.
Hey, Darlington, I feel like Odell Beckham is a name I haven't heard in quite some time here, and it's a name we're going to start hearing, I would assume, at some point soon. What do we think we know?
Odell is maintaining patience. He knows that he has to continue to recover from this ACL. And by the way, who wouldn't love to find out who's a contender before they sign with the team? He's in a really good situation. The confounding part here for me when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys is the fact that they had Amari Cooper on their roster and traded him because he was too expensive. Dude, and now he's considered a bargain, and they're going to have to pay Odell Beckham Jr. more money than they would have Amari Cooper. So this feels a little bit foolish.
Lewis, go.
Yeah, look, man, I think they are in a hell of a bind, Greeny. I really do. Because, look, Odell, we don't know what his status is. We don't know when he's going to be available as well. Plus, Michael Gallup's coming off an ACL. So, look, we don't know when these guys are even going to be available. They have to play games in September. They're going to have to line up and play games. Mm-hmm. And they've got one legit wide receiver. One. And they have an offensive line that they're trying to remake right now that we have seen in the past has had a tough time staying healthy. They're trying to develop a young offensive guard now who was an offensive tackle in college, only played two snaps of guard as their first round pick in Tyler Smith. I mean, there's a lot of questions for this football team that we just said. I believe Damian Woody just said there's more pressure on Dak Prescott than Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl. How's he going to do that? How's he going to do that without having somebody to throw the football to? We know they're going to have to put the ball up in order to move the football consistently and deal with the high-profile offenses, even in the NFC, let alone the AFC if they even got to a Super Bowl. This is a tough problem for them. And, Jeff, I think you hit the nail on the head, man. They had a solution that cost them too much, wasn't necessarily giving them the return on investment that they needed, and now they're stuck.
So, D. Wood, let's live in that world for a minute here, okay? Let's live in a world where the differentiation between the Cowboys and the Eagles, I used these numbers last week. Pro Football Focus ranks these teams' rosters. They rank the Philadelphia Eagles as having the seventh best roster in the entire National Football League. The big question is the quarterback. If the quarterback, if some of the answers on Jalen Hurts come back, yes. Who is the team to beat in that division right now? The Eagles or the Cowboys? D. Wood.
I've already picked the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East. I feel like Jalen Hurts is, you know, combined with the moves that they made this offseason, obviously trading for A.J. Brown, you know, a star wide receiver on the outside, reliable guy that you can, you know, throw the ball to in crunch time, and Dallas Goedert and Devontae Smith. Like, you got a bunch of weapons on that offense. I think Jalen Hurts is more than capable of elevating his game. And I just see a lot of weaknesses when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, especially the moves that, you know, some of the losses that they've sustained, you know, whether it be the offseason and the start of training camp. So I'm with the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC East this year.
Why are you shaking your head at that, Tannenbaum?
Because James Washington wasn't exactly Jerry Rice. Look, they have a concern at receiver, but they have a month to figure it out, right? They have a month to get it done. It's not like getting an offensive lineman, D-Wood, right, where you have to go get those guys early and overpay them. So, you know, they have plenty of time to get another receiver. And I just think Dak Prescott's a much better football player than Jalen Hurts.
All right, but fair enough. Well, yeah, Lewis, give us a final quick word. Go.
Yeah, I just want to say, yeah, you know what, Mike, I subscribe to the same theory. They're not playing games tomorrow. They still have the whole month of August. But quite honestly, where are they going to go? What wide receiver are they going to get? They have a month to kind of figure it out. But what are the options? And really, we just don't even know when Odell's going to be ready. So I think either way, I think Dallas is in a bad, bad spot, man. They're in a bad spot. They just don't have the firepower on the perimeter. Simple as that.
All right, we will go get Tannenbaum a turkey sandwich. In his case, we'll hold the ham. As we continue here, and a reminder, we are down to two teams in the basketball tournament championship game. We got Blue Collar U, made up of mostly former Buffalo players. They're taking on Americana for Autism, a team with three players with autistic children who continue to raise autism awareness. They square off for a winner-take-all million-dollar prize tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, by design, Mac Jones is hearing many voices in his head right now. Is Bill Belichick's plan for his quarterback a mess or a masterpiece? We'll answer that next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, we are back. And meanwhile on planet Earth, take a look at our big man, D. Wood, hanging out at Jets camp yesterday. D. Wood, you're hanging around with the owner, Woody Johnson, and the young star, Mekhi Becton, who makes you look small. How was your day there yesterday, big fella?
Oh, it was good, Granny. The pads were popping. Got to see the big fella. I call him my nephew. So it was all good in the neighborhood, baby.
What is it like when your nephew is a foot taller than you are?
It's kind of intimidating, man, because you like, man, these young guys might take me out, man. But it's good to see the big fella back in the mix again.
Now you know how the rest of us feel all of the time. Meanwhile, that's the Jets. Let's stay in the division. AFC East, New England is our next stop. Second-year quarterback Mac Jones preparing for a season without an offensive coordinator. You know now that Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Raiders. So the offensive duties are being shared by Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, and Bill Belichick. Yesterday, Patricia spoke about the coaching setup.
We're all kind of, sharing the responsibilities based on what periods we're at in practice. So I think that we have kind of an established culture here where we all understand there's input that comes across the board. Certainly when, you know, it's a hard decision needs to be made, we're lucky enough that our head coach here is, you know, involved in all aspects of the game. So when we need a push in either direction, we really can rely on him, which is great to help us kind of get through any of those sticky points.
All right, so Patricia, of course, was a former head coach in the NFL. So was Joe Judge. Mike Reese is with us here. You've been watching the Patriots practice for what feels like forever, and you've been there for the first five workouts of this training camp. What have you observed with this sort of unique coaching setup?
Greeny, I would call it a Patriots puzzle with three main pieces that you mentioned. When the team's going offense versus defense, the full offense, full defense, Matt Patricia with a walkie-talkie is usually radioing in the play to Mac Jones. But then when it's just Mac and his receivers working against defensive backs, it's usually Joe Judge, the quarterback's coach, who's sort of leading the way. And then that third piece, Bill Belichick, is sort of hovering over things, and he's publicly acknowledged he's spending a lot more time this year with the offense. And I would say, you know, you don't want to read too much into training camp stats, but like many teams at this time, it's a work in progress reflected by Mac Jones throwing one interception, Greeny, in each of the last three practices.
All right, that's outstanding work, Reese, as always, by you. Thank you. And we'll come back to you for more on this. I want to bring in two players who both played for Bill Belichick. And I think that history for both of you guys is relevant here. As I bring in Lewis Riddick and Damian Woody into the conversation, we'll have them up in just a second. Lewis, I feel like if it wasn't for Belichick's presence, and everyone understandably just immediately gives Bill the benefit of the doubt, and if anyone has ever earned it, he has. But if it wasn't for Belichick, I think a lot of people would be wondering, yeah, is this too many cooks in the kitchen for a second-year quarterback? What do you think, Lewis?
Absolutely. Look, absolutely. This, you know, we're keeping a lid on our level of being alarmed about the situation simply because of Bill's greatness. And look, I think, you know, Damian and I and Mike Reese have all seen it. And we've all seen it. And Damian and I have seen it up close. I've seen Bill move in between positions at a practice, even during the course of a game, being able to go up to any position on a 53-man roster and coach it like a well-qualified assistant coach or position coach. That's what makes him as good as he is. The thing that gives me some sense of comfort, quite honestly, about this entire situation isn't any of the coaches, and isn't even really Bill. It's Mac Jones himself, okay? I believe that this guy is uniquely qualified, or let's just say uniquely talented from a mental standpoint, to go ahead and take control of this offense. And I know it's only his second year, and people will be sitting there going, what are you talking about? He's only been in the league for 2 years. But what was he lauded for coming out of college? He was lauded for his mental capacity, his ability to just be inundated with information and then be able to decipher it and put it into action at a moment's notice on the football field. He is going to drive the bus, I believe, more so than anything this year. And I have confidence in his ability to do so. And I think Bill has confidence in his ability to do so. Otherwise, I don't think they would allow this situation to be like it is right now.
And a lot of the reports that I've heard coming out of there, you know, about his offseason have been extraordinarily positive. And Bill was made that point at a press conference about a week or so ago. How about it, D. Wood? How do you like this setup for a young quarterback?
Yeah, Green, I'm a little worried. And listen, this has nothing to do with the greatness of Bill Belichick, because I always feel like he's going to figure it out somehow, some way. I think for me is, I don't want to disrespect what Josh McDaniels meant to this organization. I mean, Josh McDaniels coached with Bill Belichick for 253 games, okay? That's a lot of games. That's a lot of time together with quarterbacks. That's a lot of time spending, game planning, little, you know, just to having that chemistry at the quarterback position. So I don't want to understate the loss of Josh McDaniels moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Patriots, having to figure this thing out, because play calling is an art. Not anyone can just step into that role and just have it all figured out.
That's exactly right. Mike Reese, give us a final word here as we work our way through camp for the young quarterback.
I think part of what makes covering Bill Belichick over the last 23 years so compelling is he's not afraid to go unconventional. If they had just promoted someone from under Josh McDaniels who had a primary offensive background, we probably wouldn't be talking about this. But Belichick's philosophy is that if you're a good coach, you can coach any position. And that is what we're all watching here to see if this will work out.
All right, it's a fascinating experiment in a really competitive division. Mike Reese, again, outstanding work as always. Much more football as we go, but it's a huge day in baseball. Trade deadline tonight, 6 Eastern. Deals included yesterday. The Yankees picked up starter Frankie Montas and reliever Lou Trevino from Oakland for 4 prospects, so the deals have begun. Then there was a blockbuster yesterday, Padres and Brewers. San Diego gets Josh Hader, the leader in saves in the major leagues. Going in the other direction, the Padres' previous closer, Taylor Rogers, along with 3 other players. And, of course, still to be determined, the really big deal we're all waiting for, the destination of Juan Soto, who homered off Max Scherzer last night in what could be his last game as a National. The Padres, the Cardinals, the Dodgers are all reportedly in the mix. And here's the man who knows all, Jeff Passan, the busiest man in the business. Is Jeff Passan, our baseball insider. And I'm told we do not have Jeff now. We're having all kinds of technical issues today, for which I apologize. But we will work through it, and we will get the very latest on the Juan Soto deal, because that clearly is the huge shoe. We are all waiting to see how it will drop, and it will have to drop at some point today. We'll work on getting Jeff Passan's microphone corrected and back with that in just a moment. In the meantime, has this been great or what? Are you watching the Derek Jeter documentary, ESPN Films 7-part docuseries, The Captain, continues with episodes 5 and 6. The unprecedented look into Jeter's life and career on and off the field begins 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And if you haven't seen parts 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, you can always watch them on ESPN Plus whenever you would like. We'll have much more on the trade deadline as we go. And then back to our top story of the day. It's been 24 hours since Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension was announced. Will that stand, or will the NFL appeal the decision and add more games? We're in search of that answer next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.